I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses here in our, and then I'll use one verse real quickly this evening for our text. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves in this house of worship tonight, Lord, and we can lift up your name. Tonight we can call upon your name in prayer. We can sing praises to your name this evening. And Lord, we thank you for thy people that have come that we can fellowship with and enjoy and tonight just be in comrades tonight, be in great harmony with you, Lord. We appreciate that so much. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, that you might bless your word. You might let the Holy Spirit tonight take it and apply it to our lives. And for all that's done tonight, we pray that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, will receive all the honor and glory. In his name we pray. Amen. Paul, as he's writing, of course, this particular epistle, he's writing it to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he closes out the epistle this evening with many instructions for a young preacher. And he gives him many things tonight that sometime I think we ought to read very carefully. I want to read some of these verses this evening and listen carefully to them as I read the word of the Lord. He begins in verse 1 by saying, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." That is, Christians tonight are to be good workers. They're tonight to be honest in their labor tonight. They're to be honest in their dealings, that God tonight will not be blasphemed. The name of the Lord will not be misused and misapplied this evening. "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." And Paul now gives a description of these kind of individuals. It says he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. That is, they have a assumption about things. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth." I want you to notice this next little phrase, and you listen carefully to this little phrase. "Supposing that gain is godliness." Supposing that gain is godliness this evening. "From such withdraw thyself." Don't have anything to do with them. Get away from them. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, for unto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Many things tonight in this chapter that Paul writes to this young pastor, this young preacher tonight, that he is to do and is to teach others to do. But I want to just focus on one of them tonight, and that's found in verse number 12. Where Paul says we are to fight the good fight of faith. We're to fight the good fight of faith. I hear a lot of times that tonight we're not to fight, but we are to fight. We're to do what the Scripture teaches us this evening. You know, we find that real Christianity tonight is a fight. Many tonight which call itself Christianity is not real this evening. There's a lot of things tonight that calls itself Christianity, which is not real or which is not genuine tonight. There's a lot of people who go to church and have been baptized this evening. They've been married in a Christian service. Tonight will be buried through a Christian memorial tonight. But they never have any fight. They never have any passion. They never have any exertion. Never self-denial tonight. What they have many times satisfies man, but tonight it is not what tonight we need in our world tonight. You see, many times our consciousness and our consciousness can be kindly quelled over tonight, but it's not real. You see, real, genuine Christianity of the Bible tonight is a fight. The Bible tells us that Christians are in the Lord's army. Paul writes Timothy a little bit earlier and tells him tonight to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ tonight. Now, we are to fight, Paul says, the good fight of faith. That doesn't mean we're to fight other Christians tonight. It doesn't mean tonight that we're to fight with each other. It has to do tonight with fighting the good fight of faith. As you read Paul's last epistle this evening, and that's the second epistle to Timothy, as he closes out his life and he gets to the second, the fourth chapter of the second epistle this evening, he writes young Timothy, and it's kindly Paul is writing his own obituary. And his epitaph is very simply this, I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and I've finished my course. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to leave this world, Timothy. I'm about to go out into eternity. I'm about to go and meet the Lord that I've preached down through the years. I'm about to meet the one who saved me, who I met on the Damascus Road, and I've been faithful and loyal to ever since. And Timothy, I can tell you this much. Down through the years, I have fought a good fight. That was Paul's epitaph tonight. That should be every Christian's epitaph tonight, that from the time that we met the Lord Jesus Christ until the time that we shall meet Him face to face, we have fought a good fight, we have kept the faith, and finished our course. You see, tonight, that's what Paul's epitaph, that should be our epitaph tonight. You see, tonight, we need to understand in the day and age in which you and I live, it's important that we stand for the truth. It's important that we fight for what God has placed in His Word. It's important tonight that we as God's people stand for real, genuine Christianity. The Bible teaches us tonight that it's a sin not to fight. It's a sin when we refuse to fight for the Lord. Listen to what Moses said something many years ago, and we oftentimes use it as a evangelical text tonight, that we want to use it tonight to evangelize others and to see people saved. And I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that, but I want you to listen to the context of this verse of Scripture that's found way over in the Old Testament book of Numbers this evening. Verse 23 of Numbers 32 says this, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. If you don't do this, Moses said, if you don't follow through on what you promised, then you sinned against the Lord. And be sure, mark it down, this is a surety, your sin will find you out. Now, we usually use that in an evangelistic way this evening, but in the context of the Scripture tonight, it's a picture tonight of what was taking place in those days when they got ready to cross the Jordan River. And as they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River, we find that Reuben and Manasseh said, we don't want to go across. We want to stay here. We've got some good land here. It's beautiful here. We've kindly settled in. We don't want to go over in the land of Canaan. Moses said, wait a minute. You're not going to let your brethren go over and fight the fight for God by themselves. You've got to be a part of the fight. And they said, well, now, wait a minute. Now, he said, we'll do that tonight. It said, that we'll go over and fight, we'll go over and help, and then we'll come back to this place. We'll go and participate in the fight for the Lord. We'll go and participate in the fight for the promised land. We'll go and help defeat the enemies, but then let us come back. Moses said very simply this, all right. But he said, you promised God something, and if you don't fight, you've sinned against God. And be sure your sin will find you out. You see, there's no middle ground tonight with the Lord. A lot of folks think tonight we can just have middle ground. We can just stand on the center line of the highway this evening. We can straddle a fence. But Jesus said very simply tonight, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either on my side or you're on the other side. Tonight, we need to know that we tonight are for the Lord or we are against the Lord. That we cannot say that we're neutral tonight, that we're not getting involved in all of this. We're just going to be bystanders and see what happens. You can't be neutral tonight. You're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. And you know, you really tonight can't be for both. A lot of folks want to be for both tonight. You know, the Lord said you can't serve God and mammon. You tonight can't serve two masters. You can't tonight be for the Lord and against the Lord at the same time. I read a lot of things tonight in the paper about politicians and some of the things they say. It always amazes me when they are asked a direct question, they never answer it. And if you are reading the answer to their question or listening to them answer the question on television, no matter what side you're on this evening, they're for it. Or they're against it according to what the question is tonight. You listen very carefully tonight and they'll never say yes or no. It's always, they go into this roundabout thing tonight. And you know, I found out a lot of times God's people are getting about as bad as the politicians this evening. We're either for it or we are against it. We're either on the Lord's side or we're on the other side tonight. We can't serve two masters. We can't be on both sides this evening. You see, we have to choose the Lord or we have to choose other things tonight. That's the bottom line. You have to make your decision what side you're on. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? And may I ask you, are you on the Lord's side or the other side this evening? You see, as you read this particular passage in the book of Numbers, you'll find that here these two tribes decided to put their family and their fortune and their careers tonight ahead of the Lord tonight. A lot of folks are doing the same thing this evening. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, it comes a time in Moses' life when he had to choose. And the Bible said he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He esteemed that higher tonight, a greater honor than the riches of Egypt tonight. He had rather suffer affliction with the people of God than be the leader and of the richest nation on the earth at the time. Well, that's a great choice Moses made this evening. Some folks say, why did God bless Moses? Because Moses was willing to stand for the Lord tonight. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to stand for the real thing. We're not to compromise. As you read over in the book of Exodus, as the children of Israel were getting ready to leave, and Moses went down and spoke to Pharaoh, and he said, we want to go and worship. We want to go out into the wilderness and sacrifice unto our God. And we find that Pharaoh's answer, he offered him five compromises tonight to that. He said, well, I don't think I'm going to let you go. He said, who's the Lord that I should obey him? And so he called the taskmasters in. He doubled the workload. He tonight said, don't give them any more straw. Let them get their own straw. And he said, we'll make them too busy to worship the Lord. And I believe tonight Satan's still working tonight, and he's still telling people, you're too busy to stand for the Lord. You're too busy to do anything for God this evening. I wonder how many people tonight are too busy to come to church. They're too busy tonight to honor and worship the one that loved them tonight. You see, we can't compromise. We can't get too busy to stand for the Lord. He offered him another compromise. He said, you know, just stay in the land. You know, I'll let you go worship, but don't leave the land. Stay in Egypt tonight. Stay where you are. Worship but never commit to the Lord tonight. Much today we see of this taking place this evening. I thought the other day I saw this sign and it said, casual dress, modern music, serious worship. Now listen to me this evening. I may be an old-fashioned fogey this evening, but I still believe the Bible is the Word of God. I still believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He deserves our very best this evening. I believe tonight that He loved me and He gave Himself for me, and I tonight should worship Him according to His Word. And I see a lot of this thing going on in the name of God tonight, and it makes my blood boil sometimes. I hear all of this rock dress mess that they bring out on television. I noticed over in Bancorp South not long ago on Sunday night they had some kind of concert supposed to be Christian, people were driving from miles around to come to this concert, and I saw some of those individuals and the way they were dressed, and I thought, my goodness, why weren't they in the house of God worshiping the Lord according to the Scripture tonight? Somebody said, I don't like it. I'll just be fair with you tonight. Loud music and dancing like a tribal mating call tonight is something else. You know, we're in the day and age when somebody says you can be anything you want to be and still be a Christian tonight. Don't leave the land. Just stay in the world and you'll still be all right. But I want to tell you tonight, the Word of the Lord doesn't say that tonight. In Exodus, he offered another compromise. He said, well, we'll let you go in the wilderness, but don't just go too far. Don't become a fanatic. You know, if you want to go to service once a week, that'd be all. Maybe once a month would probably be even better. But don't worry about working and giving and doing anything to the Lord tonight. Then he said, well, we'll let the men go. Why didn't he say all the men go? Because he knew they were going to come back for the women and children tonight. Then he said, well, I'll let all of you go, but leave your possessions behind. And Moses said, no, not one hoof's going to be left behind tonight. You see, tonight, sometime about what yours is yours. You ever thought about that? We live in that day and age tonight. But James said, everything we have, every good thing that you and I possess tonight is a gift of God. You think about that tonight. Everything you and I have, every possession we enjoy tonight is a blessing that God has given to us. We're going to get down on our knees every night. We're going to get down on our knees every morning and thank God tonight for what we have. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we're a blessed people, folks. But tonight, we don't really want to use it for the Lord anymore, you see. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, many years ago, the pastor of the 10th Avenue Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, had a big gruff voice, and he said that he forbid his song director to allow the people to sing that stanza of the song at Calvary where it said, I now give to Jesus everything. I gladly own Him as my King. My raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. He said, because you're making people sing a lie. You think about tonight. Everything we have belongs to the Lord tonight. We can't compromise tonight. We got to stand for the Lord. We got to stand for biblical truth. Bible truth tonight. The Bible is the Word of God. I believe that with all of my heart tonight. I believe that's God's revelation of Himself to mankind. I believe tonight God has given it to us tonight that we might know about Him. Tonight that we might learn about Him tonight. That we might find our way to Him this evening. And I'm tired of these folks tonight that want to get away from biblical truth. I'm tired of these folks tonight that want to worship God in some other way than the way the Bible says to worship Him. I think tonight we have to stand for Bible truth and Bible doctrine tonight. We have to fight against the evils of Satan this evening. We need to understand tonight that Satan is an evil force. He's a prince of the power of the air. And we're living in a day and age we have to stand for something tonight. We need to stand for biblical truth tonight. I'll tell you tonight I've told you before, but I'm about to change my mind this evening. I don't get too political, but I'm going to be fair with you tonight. This bunch of politicians we got in power tonight that want to stand and say they're Christians, and then they say they're for abortion and same-sex marriage and all these other things tonight that are against the Word of God, they're a bunch of liars. And tonight, I don't care who they are, from Barack Obama on down tonight, they're against the Word of God, and we need to stand and fight against them tonight. I want to tell you tonight, I'm not here tonight to tell you who to vote for, but I can tell you tonight, according to the Bible, who not to vote for. This evening, we need to stand for something. We're either going to be for the Lord or against the Lord tonight. And I'm tired of these folks tonight that say, well, religion's all right. And it's okay to go to church and believe what you want to believe, but you can't let that interfere with your daily life. You can't let that have anything to do with the way you live your life, with how you cast your vote on election day, with how that you spend your money. Well, I'm going to tell you, like Adrian Rogers said, if the kind of religion I got doesn't affect how I live or to get me some other kind. We ought to stand for the truth tonight. You know where we're at tonight? And I'm sad to say this, but I'm afraid that most times tonight that we've grown to the place that we're tonight self-serving and not fighting. There's a place over in the scripture in the book of Amos. And Amos was a very indignant prophet. A man tonight that he said he wasn't really a prophet or the son of a prophet. Tonight he had just been called by God to come and preach. And in chapter 6, I want to listen to what he said. He said, woe. Woe to them that are eased in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named the chief of mountains, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Caleth and see, and from hence you go to Hamath the great, and then go down to the Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? You see, we're not living in a day when we want to trust in everything but the Lord tonight. That's what Israel was doing in the days of Amos tonight. They were trusting in everything but God. They were saying, look what a great nation we are. Look what tonight we have accomplished. Look what we have tonight. And we'll not fall tonight. We'll stand forever. Well, that's insolence tonight. That's standing up and shaking your fist in God's face and saying, it doesn't matter what we do, we'll stand forever. God hadn't got anything to do with our preservation tonight. We're taking care of ourselves. Well, tonight, the only security we have in America tonight, the only security we have in the United States of America tonight is through the Lord tonight. We can't trust in everything, but we're trusting in everything else. Listen to what he said, ye that put afar away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Oh, listen tonight, we put away the evil day. We want to put it away and say, hey, it's not going to happen. And now notice what he said in verse 4, and this is where we really are, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the cows out of the midst of the stall. Well, they're living in luxury this evening. They're indulging themselves this evening. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. Well, they're just relaxing. They didn't have got a worry in the world. Everything's just going to do all right. They're just stretched out in luxury. Then they're eating, he said, the lambs and the calves. That chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instrument of music like David. Now, I've heard people say that is a passage that tonight shows that we shouldn't use instrumental music in church. And I'm not getting into that tonight, but that has absolutely nothing to do with that. I can assure you tonight of that fact. What it's meaning tonight is they've got to the point that they just sit around and they're singing and laughing and partying all the time. Not a care in the world. Don't worry about the Lord. Let's just have a good time. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. When you read that, they drink wine in bowls, and the word bowls there in the Hebrew is literally a word for them when they would come and worship the Lord and drink before the Lord. It refers here to their worship tonight. They're coming and they're worshiping, but they don't really worship the Lord. They're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They're not grieved tonight because of the sin that's going on around them. They're just having a high time. That describes many modern-day churches, doesn't it, tonight? We're just having a high old time. We're too busy tonight self-indulging ourselves instead of really worshiping the Lord and witnessing for the Lord. Sheldon Jones said many years ago that too many people are building million-dollar launching pads for two-inch firecrackers. You know, I begin to read tonight and look around and see tonight some of the things that goes on in our world. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but listen carefully to me. The days of the book of Acts and the days of the apostles, they were meeting in caves and catacombs. They had to meet in houses, many times under the cover of darkness. Many times they were persecuted and afflicted, drugged from their homes, and literally murdered and placed in prisons and made slaves. But yet the Bible says they turned the world upside down for the Lord tonight. Tonight we have trained clergy and educated preachers. We have fine facilities and buildings. And tonight what are we doing? We're compromising with the world, and the world says hallelujah. I tell you tonight, we need to fight the good fight of faith. That's what the Bible tells us to do. I'm not talking about fighting with each other. I'm not talking about getting a fist fight with your neighbor. But I'm talking about standing for the truth of God, being a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, enduring hardness tonight. Let us stand for the truth tonight. Let us tonight fight the good fight of faith. I hope that one day when I leave this world, if the Lord doesn't come, that tonight they can put on my tombstone, "He fought a good fight. He kept the faith. He finished his course." Well, the older you get, and as you look to that time, I've got to meet the Lord tonight. I've got to give a report. I've got to tell Him what I did, whether it be good or whether it be bad. I sure hope it's good tonight. I hope tonight that I can leave this world fighting for the faith. Tonight we need to fight and stand for the truth this evening. Do what the Lord asks us to do. All right, you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In His wonderful, holy name I pray. Amen and amen.